Let them stand through the entire sermon. Okay. I'm a little more nervous than I usually am when I get up to speak, so when I get nervous, I tend to talk faster, so kind of fasten your seatbelt, because this may get quick real quick at the end. So I know that there's probably some of you that are maybe as anxious as I am. I know when I'm sitting there, you're probably concerned about whether, if you fall asleep, which you wouldn't do with Mike, but if you were to fall asleep with me, you're concerned about, will I snore? Now, I have a CPAP machine, so if I just doze for a little bit, I start snoring. So George is looking very concerned right now. But there's been something that's been on my heart for, some time. And, you know, we've all seen this saying, life is a journey. And that's certainly true. It's kind of trite, I guess. We've heard it so many times. But I found this little slide, too, says, and only you hold the map. And that's the thing I want for us to think about this morning is, you know, what kind of map are we going to have? And as I talk, we're going to be talking through, using life as a journey, just like taking a trip, a physical trip. But tucked into that physical trip is that spiritual journey that we may be on. I found this to be an interesting quote from Voltaire. He says, I don't know where I'm going, but I am on my way. How many people do you know that kind of live their life that way? You know, and I think a lot of us do. We get real busy at times and things are, we're charging and feel like we're accomplishing stuff. But if we really stop and think about it for a little while, sometimes we feel like we haven't accomplished quite as much as we wanted to. You know, people struggle with a lot of things. I think back, I graduated from college in the 60s, and it was kind of starting there, and it seems like it's gotten a little bit worse ever since then. But asking themselves things like, what's the meaning of life? If you had a tie-dye t-shirt on, you might be asking yourself that. Things like, I haven't found myself yet, so I don't know what I'm going to do, or I just don't know what to do with my life, or I just need to be happy, and life is too hard. And, you know, those are all things that we kind of lay out sometimes, but just like our previous slide said, you know, if we're going to answer those questions and if we're going to move on in our life, we need to lay out a map as to how that's going to be accomplished. And if you notice in those questions that I said there, you know, one of the things, and this is what made me want to talk about this some this morning, is our spiritual emphasis in seeking that direction seems to be declining. I think recent surveys I've seen, people less than half of our country today would say that they are somewhat religious. That's something that we see in our churches with what's going on and departing from, Scripture and a variety of things like that. But that spiritual emphasis is something that I'd like to see us be able to get back into that map that we're looking at. Another quote I found that was kind of interesting, spiritual progress is born out of self-awareness. And if you think back to those questions that I was asking just a minute ago, those are questions people ask that really aren't aware. They don't have self-awareness, but that's something that can be developed, over time, and if we're true and honest. last week, I think it was, or maybe week before last, Mike showed a clip of a film from Overcomer, where at the beginning of the film, this young lady, Hannah Scott, had been asked the question as to who she was. And then about halfway through the film is what the clip that Mike showed. And I want to remind you what she said. She came in and she approached her coach, and she says, I am created by God. He designed me, so I'm not a mistake. His son died for me just so I could be forgiven. He picked me to be his own, so I am chosen. He redeemed me, so I am wanted. He showed me grace just so I could be saved. He has a future for me because he loves me. So I don't wonder anymore. I'm a child of God. So you can see from that she had done a lot of reflecting and looking forward as to what she was going to do with her life. So as we look to set that direction, I think the final thing she said, you know, we are God's creation, needs to come into that. And we need to understand that if we commit to following him, things are going to work out. This was another quote. I don't know who said this. This was anonymous, but again, it's something that I thought was kind of interesting. It says, we are not given a good life or a bad life. We are just given a life. And it's up to us to make it good or bad. So much of the time people are looking for somebody else to make their life for them, you know, to lay out things. Well, what should I do? But at the end of the day, we need to map out our direction ourselves, and then not only map it out, but then start on that journey. So whenever we talk about a journey, I'll be using some words. If I'm not thinking through vision, journey, destination, maybe kind of synonymous in that. So don't think I'm totally confused, but might be. But so, you know, first of all, we need that vision. You know, we talk about having a map on a journey. Why do we have a map on a journey? It's to find a way to get to the destination that we're looking at. So if you look at the definition of a vision, it has a variety of ways that the word gets used. It can be our sight. It can be a mental vision, even a dream or a thought or a concept. Or it can be the power of imagination. You know, there's also another saying that's gone around, you know, in recent years that said, what we can imagine, we can achieve. I don't know that that's entirely true, but I do know the first part of that is if we're going to achieve anything, we have to have a vision. We need to be able to define and see what that is. P.K. Bernard, who's an evangelist in a denomination, has this quote. It says, a man without a vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always return to his past. And if you look at that, then what conclusion can you come to? I said, you know, a vision is the bridge between the present and the future. And I don't know if you ever thought about it. If you don't have a vision, if you don't have a direction in mind, you're going to stay in one place, aren't you? You're not going to grow. You're not going to be exerting effort to do things. And you say, well, okay, why are you going through all that? Well, because whenever we start looking at Scripture, you know, God knew that vision was important. If you think back through the Scriptures, how many times did God give his people a direction? Now, oftentimes they didn't hear it, or they didn't understand it, or they didn't follow it, or they forgot it, a variety of things there, but God was there to give them the direction. So if you look at that, and when you see how important God thinks that it is, it just reemphasizes that we need to involve God as we look to create a vision and plans for our future life. The scripture we just read said, you know, sometimes God, you know, has us to wait to see some things come together. I've listed in the bulletin there some scriptures I want to look at relative to God and vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Now, that's a modern English. But the King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I think that King James Version translation is the one that's kind of ominous to me, that, you know, if you don't have a vision, you perish. And that kind of goes along with other expressions. We say, well, if you're not growing, you're dying, and a variety of things. But here's God's word saying, you know, you need to have that vision. And, of course, that vision needs to include him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Again, God looking at planning for our lives. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Again, God involved in that journey that we're taking. And then in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Again, just in a couple of verses there, some very good advice as to how we need to involve God in those plans. So, even beyond those verses where God was talking to his people, we can look to Jesus as well. Did Jesus have a vision? Yeah, certainly he did. You know, when we look through, he could have just come and done something and, our sins have been forgiven, but he developed a plan, didn't he? He did a walk. Look at all the places that we see him and all the things that he addressed to his people. And he also laid out a vision for his disciples too, didn't he? Now, did they always understand it? No, they didn't. But it became clear at a point, and they were able to reflect back as to what he had told them. And, they were able to take the steps that they needed to. So as we look at that type of thing, we need to look at the direction we're taking, some of the steps that we need to take. A journey may be a long one. And we may need to make some stops along the way. And particularly when we think about our life, what am I going to do? Am I going to be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever? You don't get to be that in a day, do you? There's certain steps you take out. If you're going to be a lawyer, you go to undergrad school, then you go to law school, then you got to take the bar, then you start practicing. So it's kind of the same way in our Christian walk, isn't it? Do we know everything there is to be known whenever we come up out of the water? Certainly not. But then we got to look at those steps that we need to take. In fact, I kind of had my notes here. How many of you have ever seen the movie What About Bob? what was the byline there? What did his doctor always tell him? What kind of steps? Baby steps, yeah. Of course, that kind of ended up in the doctor's demise, but... But anyway, Bob went from being, hung up about everything in his life to then being, a successful counselor in his own way. But it was because of taking baby steps, right? And that's kind of where we are relative to our spiritual walk. As we're planning that out, too, values are important. Sometimes we want to just start out and say, okay, this is the direction I'm going, but... this is part of that self-awareness we talk about. What are my values? And certainly as a Christian, we need to look at what those values are. And as we make those plans, whether it's that physical walk or spiritual walk, we need to look and say, okay, is this direction supported by my values? If it's not, we need to rethinking about that. So, first question we ask is, where are you going and why? Life is a reflection of our choices and the prioritization that we make on those choices. We need to give a lot of thought to the many roles that we play. And, if you ever sit down and start listening, okay, what are my roles? You're going to find that you got a whole lot that you're going to be trying to balance. Being a Christian, a church member, a spouse, a parent, an employee, community leader, ministry leader. I mean, you could just go on, and I wouldn't be surprised if all of us couldn't come up with about 20 different roles that we're playing. But, if we're not making a conscious effort to look and see how does this fit into my life journey, how does this fit into my Christian walk, and just leave it to kind of whatever, we're probably going to be involving ourselves in mostly in whatever it is we enjoy doing or whatever it is that somebody's putting some stress on us to do and just kind of get off course, get off our route. So if we're trying to make a decision process about those directions, there's some key questions I think are just a simple start to doing that. First, is God a part of it? You know, we really look to what God wants us to be doing in our life or not. Is the direction supported by my values? Or how does the direction affect other people, not just me? And I think that's an important thing for us to remember, too. You know, we as individuals can make decisions that are perhaps going to be adverse to other people. And particularly when we talk about being part of a family, whether it's our blood family, decisions we make, how's it going to affect a spouse, children, a father, what have you. But also here in our church family, you know, as to, you know, the decisions I make about what I'm going to do with my Christian walk is going to affect our church family. The question why we make certain choices then is, you know, helps us give some insight into who we are and what we're trying to do. And the why will generally reflect the focus of our journey. So if we're all the time making choices and decisions that take us away from church or take us away from our church family, take us away from our values, we're going to see that, you know, maybe that direction needs some focus, some better decisions about it. One of the other things that the why can be based on a variety of things too. You know, oftentimes it's based on our history. You know, how often do we see that people that have had maybe a difficult life continue that difficult life because they haven't looked at the how to get out of it or what they need to be doing. And I think one of the other things that we see is people maybe make poor decisions on the direction of their life. It's a matter of what are they willing to give. You know, that's you know, kind of looking for the easy way out. You know, if something's going to be hard, something's going to be challenging, well, I don't want to go that direction because I don't want something that's hard. I don't want something that's challenging. And certainly that end is reflected in our Christian walk, isn't it? You know, we're told in the scriptures that, you know, this physical life isn't always going to be easy. There's going to be some challenges there. So we don't want to be using that as a reason for making bad choices. So, you know, if we're taking a physical trip, vacation trip or something, do you have directions? You know, Jerry, how long were you all gone? 3 weeks? Something like that? Traveled all through the West and so on like that?
20 days.
So if you're taking a trip of 20 days and traveling several thousand miles, you better have some directions, right? So that's important on that. But, you know, directions or instructions, you know, most men don't think that's all that necessary, do they? Not until they've broken something. But I tell you, that's one thing God has done for us is YouTube. Because you can find out how to fix just about anything on YouTube and maybe even your specific model or something. So we get some help. But sometimes in life, you know, we don't have YouTube, do we? So sometimes when traveling, and I don't know if this happened to Jerry and one or not, you look and say, okay, have I lost my way? And how do I get back on course? You know, the problem with that at times is, you know, maybe we didn't even know we lost our way. Let's see if my other daughter here. I got one daughter that seems to suffer a bit from direct, particularly when she gets with one of her friends. You know, east and west kind of goes this way at times. I don't know if they're challenged dyslexically, but what was it you were going to that time that you were... She was going to something out towards Wentzville, and she gave us a call when she got to Scott Air Force Base. and you know, kind of asked, am I close to where I'm supposed to be? We have blamed that on her friend, though, because she is certainly challenged. But it's not always a matter of losing our way. Sometimes life throws some things in our way that is going to cause us to stop maybe places we didn't intend to stop for some reason or other. Because you may need to help somebody. You may need to be there. You may need to stay for a while. you know, certainly if we look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, I think this is a good example of what may happen to us sometimes in our journey. The Good Samaritan, he was headed someplace in a hurry, as were the other people who passed on by, but he saw this as an interruption in his journey that he needed to make. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." I don't know why I keep looking down there when I've got this written here. So, as we start a journey, there can be many things that we don't anticipate, particularly in that life journey. We may choose a career direction, not totally understanding initially what all was going to be required of it. Start out in a variety of things that we think is a good direction for us, but without experience, maybe we don't know everything that it is. So, like the scripture says, they need advisors if they're going to succeed. It's always interesting to me how you see things when you're going to speak like this. All of a sudden, it seemed to tie in, but there's a Facebook page about fluorescent, and some young lady had a post on there yesterday that said that both of her parents had passed, and she didn't have any family in this area, and she needed to buy a car, and she knew absolutely nothing about cars or how to buy a car, and what she was looking for was to be somebody willing to go with her to help, that knew what they were doing, to help buy a car that she didn't get taken advantage of or buy some kind of a junker. So she recognized there was some expertise, some knowledge that she needed, before she went to do that. So that's why some of our relationships are so important, whether it's a mentor, church family, blood relatives, and so on. It's all important in our journey, because particularly if we, in a spiritual sense, if we run into a spiritual detour or a spiritual struggle, we're going to need some help and advice on how to go there. So one of the first questions you want to ask too then is, where are you now? There's important questions that we need to ask ourselves periodically, whether it's on a physical trip or a spiritual. Things like, are you on the route? If not, what change in direction do you need to make? Do you need to be there or at a specific time? Are you on schedule? Flexible timing-wise, or if you need to be there a certain time and you're running late, what are you going to do? And what happens if I'm late? I think these last two questions are particularly important with our spiritual walk. What happens if you hear some trumpets and things are happening in the clouds? You think, have you seen that cartoon about the ark with all the animals on that out in the water and two unicorns standing on the beach looking and said, was that today? there's some of these things that, we kind of miss the boat if we are late. And these things relative to our physical travel, thank God for GPS, right? Because if we find we've gone the wrong way, it's going to help us get back on track most of the time. When I was consulting on with farmers, I have ended up in a couple of places that I hope to God didn't have a shotgun, because it was clear that I wasn't supposed to be there. So the GPS didn't really help in that route. And what happens if you've got your GPS on and you take the wrong route? You make the wrong turn. What happens? A really irritating lady comes on and says, "Take the next right." I find it kind of condescending myself. I don't know about you, but and then turns to irritation and then turns to anger about the third time that you've taken the wrong time. But do we have that GPS in our spiritual walk? Yeah, if we pay attention to it, don't we? We've got other Christians. We've got the Bible. We've got a plethora of books that will help us to reflect on. But it's all a matter of us, being willing to listen to it. Then there's an aspect of preparation. I'm sure Jerry and Wanda, whenever they knew they were going to be gone for about 20 days, they made some preparation as to what was going to be required. And for a physical trip, maybe we look at things as how long is the trip going to take and do I have enough time? You know, if you've got 2 weeks of vacation and you plan on a three-week trip, that's probably not going to work out someplace along the line, is it? How much money am I going to need, or are credit cards enough? This money thing always pops up in my mind. You know, one of the jobs I had, I traveled to Europe quite a bit, and I can remember one time that this was when you could still go into the airport. Randy took me to the airport, and I can't remember why. I gave her all my folding money, and got on. And after I got on the plane, about an hour into the flight, I stuck my hand in my pocket and realized I was going to Europe with a quarter in my pocket. Now, it wasn't all bad news because, Brussels Airport at the time had an American Express machine that I could draw money out of on my company credit card. But I knew a couple of times I had gone to Brussels that machine had been down. So through the rest of the trip, you can imagine what I'm thinking. You know, how do I get to the hotel? You know, is a machine going to be up and so on? So I really hadn't thought through all that well. Of course, at the time, I didn't realize Brussels was way ahead of the United States in that cab drivers could take credit cards, but I didn't know that at the time. But we need directions. We need to look at what stops we're going to make. Do I need reservations there? What if I need help along the way? How am I going to get that? If you're traveling internationally, will people understand me? If not, how am I going to get along with that? So there's a lot of things in that preparation. And in our spiritual walk as well, we need to do a lot of preparation. One of the other questions that we need to look at sometimes is it anyone going with you? There's some things we need to ask ourselves about that too. Why are they going? Are they going to be helping or hindering getting to the destination? And if you need some help along the way, are they going to be able to do that? And certainly, we talk about the Christian walk, particularly. That's not totally an individual walk, is it? We need other Christians to help us. I mean, that's why we're here this morning. You know, we talk about that and talk about that. We're here to encourage one another. And maybe there's someone that has that struggle that we're talking about that we need to help them with. So it's good to have someone along, but we need to look about whether they're a good or bad influence. I heard a definition of a best friend one time. It says, if you happen to do something that landed you in jail, it said a good friend comes and bails you out. So the best friend is sitting beside you and saying, we really messed up this time, didn't we? You know, so there's ways that we can look at those relationships and how good they are. And, whether they're influencing or detracting, or am I influencing or detracting them? But overall, typically we need people to strengthen us, particularly in our spiritual journey. And we need to be ready to help them in theirs as well. So that's all kind of about how you plan. But, at the end of the day, just like some of the scriptures that we'll see here in just a minute, after we've made that plan and we've gone down the way for a while, we need to periodically stop and reflect, on where we are. We need to review the progress. We need to review where we are, where we've gotten to. And this is one of the things in developing that plan. It works well if you write things down. This is what I intend to do in my journey. And even in the scripture we read earlier, God advised them to do that too. Because, when you come down the road sometime to reflect upon where you are, sometimes we forget where we intended to be. So, writing things down helps us to reflect upon that. And then start to look at whether the journey is still valid or perhaps needs to make a change. And when we look at where we are and what we're doing, that often becomes the case. But, self-reflection is difficult, because we've got to be honest with ourselves. And a lot of times we don't want to do that. We don't want to admit our faults. We still got perhaps a desire to take a direction to achieve something that's really not in the best cards for us. And I really think sometimes God will put hindrances in our way whenever we're not going the way that He wants us. He protects us in that way. Sometimes we want to blame other people for our lack of progress, or maybe even expect them to solve it for us. But at the end of the day, it's our choices. It's our map that we've made. Looking at a couple of scriptures that talks about that, Paul is perhaps one that reflects this the most. In Philippians, the third chapter, verse 13, it says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And then in James, the first chapter, starting in verse 22, says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone," I should have turned his face, "who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." And then in Lamentations, it says, "Let us examine our ways and test him, and let us return to the Lord." So here again, Scripture talks about how important it is for us to stop and reflect periodically on what we're doing. And I think in the bulletin, I put several things in there as to, questions you might ask yourself if you want to do self-reflection on your Christian walk. And I won't go into those right now, but I would encourage you to read those and think about it. Some time ago, the elders did a vision statement. I think it's been probably 15 years ago. We've been doing some having some discussions here recently, and we started talking about that. And in all honesty, most of us didn't remember what it was, which kind of says, "Gee, we really haven't put that in front of the church very often as to what it is we're trying to accomplish here." So I wanted to bring that in front of you. It's also in your bulletin on the right-hand side. But some things I want you to look at relative to that vision. Several years ago, we said the Florissant Church of Christ is a congregation of more than 2,000. Now, this was a vision. Of course, at the time we wrote this, we had about 500 people. So it was challenging then, but it's challenging now, too. Said it is innovative in approaches to telling the world about Christ, Jesus Christ, and promoting fellowship with other believers to strengthen God's people. God is glorified by people's involvement in what they do. It is a place where people truly care for one another and actively reach out to the community to care for people in whatever way meets their needs. Now, one of the things I want you to pay attention to, and I hope you keep that someplace that you can look at it periodically, that's not just a picture that was painted. It is to an extent. But I want you to look at it, how many action words. James talked in a scripture I read just a minute ago about how we need to take our Christian walk and do something with it. So look at this. It's going to be innovative in approaches. That's an action word. And that may mean making some changes periodically that are going to be challenging in our life and in the church. We talk about promoting fellowship. Again, an action word. And that's to strengthen God's people. Action. God is glorified by people's involvement and what they do. It's not just sitting back and saying, "Gee, we want to do that," because it's never going to happen if that's what we do. It is a place where we truly care for one another. Caring is an action word. And we actively reach out to the community. Again, an action word. So, we kind of, or at least I apologize that we haven't had this in front of the church more often, because we really need to be thinking about our Christian walk and our direction if this congregation is going to achieve that. Part of supporting getting that is on your bulletin every Sunday. I don't know if you ever notice it, but the mission statement we have that supports this vision is helping people develop a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And then on top of that, we've talked about, you remember Mike early on when he was here was talking about the kitchen and the living room and so on. And we related those words to connecting, caring, and committing. Again, action words, not just something to say, isn't that nice, you know. But something that needs to be done if we're going to achieve that vision. And then there's also other value statements that we've made over time, that we need to love one another, we need to equip people, we need to support, and we need to celebrate. So, you know, all things that, you know, we've got a picture of where we want to be in the future, but, you know, these are some of the things that we need. These are the GPSs and the money machines and the things that we need to be doing to help arrive at that destination. So going away from here and looking at the things that are in the bulletin, the question I hope you ask yourself is, where are you going? I ask myself that question, where am I going? And why is that important? Well, it's not only important just because of your spiritual walk and maybe getting some clarity and definition as to your life, how you want to lead your life and get rid of some of those aggravations and problems that you have. But the other part is this, where you're going will affect where we are going, you know, because we are a family here. And you know, we make that point time and time again. And that involves, you know, all of us being part of trying to support that vision. You know, one of the classes here recently, somebody was, again, making a point, maybe it was Mike a couple weeks ago, you know, the scripture about is the eye says, I'm not an eye, I want to be this. You know, the eye can't function if it's outside the body, can it? Likewise, the ear, all those body parts that you want to talk about got to be part of the body, but the body's not going to function unless they are, they're part of it. So it's all about trying to come together and be effective in reaching this community for Jesus Christ. So take some time to reinforce your direction, define who you want to be, and particularly in your Christian walk. Now, I mentioned that clip that Mike had out of Overcomer last week, and that was certainly kind of inspirational, but we rented the movie, or not rented, it borrowed Mike's copy for our small group. And after I looked through that, I went back and very slowly typed out Hannah's testimony at the end of the movie, which I thought was pretty dramatic. And it's as I read this to you, I want you to listen for the action words that Hannah has in it. Her testimony said this: at some point, you will ask yourself who you really are. Self-awareness, right? I felt I was a mistake and had no place in this world. I felt unloved and unwanted. I got so many mixed messages from the world around me that I was in confusion most of the time. Didn't have a value-based vision. But when I found the one that created me, I found my identity. It doesn't come from what the culture says or even how I feel at any given time. The Creator gets to decide His creation. Involve God. I still have good days and bad days. I still have struggles. But through all of that, I know that the one who loves me and died for me is with me. He overcame everything for me, sin, suffering, and death. Wise counsel, right? So I walk with Him every day. I trust in Him every day. And since my identity is found in Him, I know exactly who I am. She both finalized the map and was committed to what was going. 1 John 5:5 says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So today, you got a decision or a choice to make. If you've not made a commitment to Jesus Christ as the Son of God, this would be a good time to do it and be baptized. And we can either do that here, or we can do it in private at another time. But certainly something that when you're looking at the walk that you're making, the journey you're taking, is very important. If upon reflection you've got some struggles and you need some wise counsel to help you get back the direction you want to, there's going to be some elders around. Unfortunately, a number of ours are down at the marriage retreat, so not as many as usual, but also there's still going to be somebody back in the conference room if you'd like to have prayer about that struggle or prayer about what's bothering you. But whatever your needs are, you know, we're here to help you this morning. And let's do that as we stand and sing.